Tonight's scripture reading, congregation, is the 121st Psalm, Psalm 121. Listen, this is the Word of God. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. The Word of God. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the musical you may have seen some years ago, Maria sang, "The hills are alive with the sound of music." And we loved the way she communicated a sense of peace and security in her native Austria, unaware of the troublous times that would be brought on by Hitler's Anschluss. It seemed as though all was right with her and the world as she basked in that sunny mountain splendor. Soon, however, all was changed, and she faced the threat of death at the hand of the Nazis. What exactly preserved Maria and her new family in the end was not exactly spelled out, unless it was just human ingenuity or gratuitous fate. What kind of assurance might you have that your eternal security is fixed and unassailable by any evil that might threaten you? Are you left with whistling in the dark when it comes to any confidence that you will at last enjoy peace and happiness after life here on this earth? The answer is decidedly in the negative. For you who have a firm and unmovable confidence that God the Lord will preserve you in Christ through any terror or evil opposing His gracious purpose to keep you unto the end. Our psalmist, whoever he was, expressed his firm hope in those memorial words that have resounded in the hearts and minds of countless millions of people in both times, the covenant of promise and that of fulfillment. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. And I might interject here, it might remind you a little bit of this morning's sermon. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Yes, Maria looked to the grand and awesome Austrian Alps and found in them a peaceful rest that comforted her soul. They truly were alive with her, the sound of music for her. But our psalmist looked toward other mountains, less grand and awe-inspiring from a scenic perspective, but ones that were alive for him with the sound of Yahweh's eternal, reassuring covenant promise for Israel that was the apple of his eye. And that should be music to your ears as well, Christian believers. Your eternal preservation is secured by the gracious covenantal love of the Lord, who is the one in whom you trust. Now, I want us to observe tonight from this text, in the first place, a marvelous mystery here. For when you read Psalm 121, you face two truths, both of which must be fully appreciated, and neither of which may be underestimated. They are divine sovereignty and human responsibility, both. Now, that this psalm extols God's sovereign control is unmistakable. The entire piece reverberates to that chord. This is music of such majesty and awe that you must respond and sing in feeble tones by comparison. O Lord our God, how great you are in yourself and in your wondrous activity toward us undeserving needy ones. You cannot come away from this psalm with anything but a clear apprehension of this fact. The preservation of the saints is due to the sovereign will and the accomplishment of the Almighty and ever-blessed Lord God. That's a fact. Yet, did you know that was coming? At the same time, there is another theme in this psalm, subordinate to that of God's sovereignty, indeed, but there, clearly. We could call it the minor theme of the sonata, human responsibility. Yet, though minor, it is no less important. In fact, the psalm opens with this minor theme. Amazingly, I lift up my eyes to the hills. That's faith, folks. That's trust. The psalmist is not carried along by some outside fateful force he knows not what. Yet he affirms, my help comes from Yahweh, who made heaven and earth. He trusts in the Lord, yes. But equally sure is that he trusts in the Lord. That's what we are calling the minor theme, human responsibility. The preservation of Israel is not to be found in bare divine sovereignty, puppeteer-like, upon unwitting Pinocchios. These are image-bearers of deity, and they lift up their living eyes to the place of Yahweh's abode, to Judea's hills, to the place where he had placed his name. Preserved, they persevere. If you don't remember anything about this sermon, just remember those three words. Preserved, they persevere. But that's why I call it a marvelous mystery. It is exactly the wonder and amazement of the doctrine of grace referred to by what we know as the last letter of TULIP. P. The perseverance of the saints. It could also be equally known as the preservation of the saints. Either. Both. One could even say that we are faced here, also in our psalm, with the mystery of godliness. It is like the Trinity, something that we cannot fathom. That's why this doctrine, like its corollaries earlier in TULIP, also gives offense to the mind of man, not captive to God's word. Is the psalmist here speaking of something that God does or that he does? The answer is, they cannot be separated in such a manner, pitted against each other. They go together, major and minor theme, composer, making beautiful music sound. Now, some will argue, you can't have it both ways. Either God preserves the saints, or they persevere, but not both at the same time. Either the saints are eternally secure because God preserves them, or they are required to persevere, and that implies that they might not persevere, and thus are not eternally secure. But you can't have both ways. Admittedly, there is logic there. Aristotelian logic. Yeah. But Aristotle is not calling the shots here, folks. Man ever studies rationality and insists upon it. But the truth of the matter is that God's ways are not our ways, nor his thoughts our thoughts. As Isaiah was informed, and as he likewise preaches to us. That is, we must be ready here for some divine math that defies our canons. It's 100% God and 100% man, not 50-50. Now you may say, that's impossible. You can't have 200%. You have to divide this up somehow between God and man, maybe 60-40. You can't say that God is a 100% sovereign and man is 100% responsible. It's just not good math. Well, it may not be good mathematics, but it is good and biblical theology. For it is exactly the complete and full force of Psalm 121. Here we are told that both of these things are true, fully true, at one and the same time. Are you ready for some repetition? The reason is we need to get it straight. First, the major theme. My help comes from the Lord. Together with all those wonderful clauses throughout the rest of the psalm that extol Israel's keeper. Second, the minor theme, I lift up my eyes to the hills. The Lord is the psalmist's keeper, but the psalmist trusts in the Lord. Miss either of these themes and you corrupt the psalm of its true meaning. And you here tonight, my dear friends, need both of these themes. As Christians, you need to know from whence your help comes. You need to know that it comes from the Lord. You need to praise Him for preserving you for Himself from now and into eternity. Know that. You need to know that. And you need to worship Him for His powerful sovereignty, without which you will never see Him in the world to come. You need to thank Him for getting you as individuals and as a church through all the lesser scrapes and speed bumps of life. But primarily, you need to fall down before Him in gratitude for His powerful grace that will keep you out of hell. So I say that you need both of these themes, the minor one as well as the major. Don't miss verse 1. I lift up my eyes to the hills. That's human responsibility, and that's important. It's your responsibility, Christian, you need for 100% to trust this sovereign God. You need to express faith in Him every day, every hour, every minute. You need to lift up your eyes to Him in prayer without ceasing. You need to seek to glorify Him in your everyday experiences of life, in this community and in the marketplace, in and out of church. Trusting God. Ever. For, you know, God may be trusted precisely because He is sovereign. 100% sovereign. His sovereignty is not diminished even in the tiniest respect when you trust Him. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Paul promised all God's saints everywhere. But those saints are preserved through faith, not otherwise. They do lift up their eyes to the hills. That initial affirmation of the psalm shouts loudly and clearly that the saints may not glibly relax in complacent certainty that all is well with them forever because God is their keeper and their helper, and will preserve them forever. He is the ultimate psalmist. And he put in verse 1, as well as the rest of the psalm, and we had jolly well better listen up to all that he says. And here he is saying, I hold you responsible. 100% responsible to lift up your eyes to the hills, to my hills, to my Mount Zion, where I dwell. Don't go to Baal or Ashtaroth. They can't help you. Actually, they are existentially challenged. They more than cannot help you. They don't even exist. Trust me. So that's the great mystery of the psalm. Secondly, we pay particular attention to the major theme once more, the preservation of the saints. Consider in greater detail this wondrous doctrine as it unfolds in the major theme of our psalm, verse 2, my help comes from the Lord. Yahweh is truly the God of Israel, but He is the one who made heaven and earth. That's everything. Again, I remind you of this morning's sermon. This is no local deity, the preferred god of one ancient Near Eastern tribe. This is the God, the only one. And the sovereign helper that He is for those ancient Jews is the sovereign helper that He is today and every day, for everyone who lifts up their eyes to the hills of Calvary, where Jesus, the only Savior of the world, died to deliver sinners of every race, caste, and nationality, and religious background as well. I hope you know this, but if you don't, let me remind you. Our denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, began in the day when the Presbyterian Church of the USA was willing and did send a missionary named Pearl Buck to China. That was surely commendable. However, it turns out that her message to the Confucianists and the ancestor worshipers in China to whom she was sent was not Christianity. That was not her message. She made clear in her writings, including the novel, The Good Earth, you might have read it, that she preached a different gospel to the Chinese when she said, tell us about your gods. Tell us about the hills to which you lift up your eyes. And then we Westerners will be blessed and enriched by your input and slant. But J. Gresham Machen and those with him would have none of that universalism. They started the Independent Board for Presbyterian Foreign Missions, were eventually kicked out of the PCUSA, and thereafter formed the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. Still, their help came from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. And you who follow in their train and learn the same music will find your help from the same soul source. That means you too will need to stand up today and oppose the universalism that seems increasingly to corrupt the major Protestant denominations of the United States Christianity, so-called. You will have to do that without fear or favor, as did those others before you. But let's go on as we consider further the preservation of the saints. Listen to verse 3. He will not let your foot be moved. Here is your apologetic, believers. It is what Dr. Cornelius Van Til, my professor at Westminster Theological Seminary, called presuppositionalism. That's a big word. Yes, but it's a needed one, folks. Archimedes, the ancient Greek thinker, said, give me a pousto, P-O-U-S-T-O. That's Greek language for a place to stand. Give me a pousto, a long enough lever, and a fulcrum, and I can move the earth. Presuppositional theology says that God has provided us. Thank you very much, Mr. Archimedes. God has provided us a lever, a long enough one, and a fulcrum, not for moving the earth, but for being there when the earth melts away and is changed. The Christians, unproven and unprovable by human reasoning, place to stand, pusto, is Yahweh himself. You trust in him because he is. That's why we call it presuppositionalism. He didn't get proved to you. He simply is. You trust him because he is. He just is, and he keeps the place of his name, Mount Zion, as we will read later in Psalm 125. Thus the believer, whether it be a Jew of old or a Jesus disciple of now, who looks to that hill, Zion, Calvary, will never be moved. Never be moved. He has a pusto, and he will never be moved off, but kept by God's power. Then we go on to verse 5. The Lord is your keeper. Are you threatened by physical disease or suffer pain daily? We might be able to take for this, the sun shall not smite you by day. I'm not actually positive about that, but it could mean that. Or alleged spirit forces of darkness, perhaps that refers to the moon by night. Don't fear. Whatever Yahweh is your keeper. He will neither slumber nor sleep. He will, in the words of verse 7, keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The greatest evil that could befall you, of course, would be that you would lose your salvation. That after having put your trust in Christ, you would somehow still slip out of God's hands. slip through the cracks and be eventually lost eternally in the end. Well, the psalmist has something to say about that supposition in verse 9. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Because He's sovereign. And His sovereignty extends through every tale of your life, believer. On every day, in every minute and second of your life, from now until eternity. This you may presuppose, because God the Lord says it. And that settles it. But now finally, we have to have one more look at the perseverance of the saints. We've seen that it's a grand mystery, how that both are true. Then we've looked at the preservation of the saints. Now we must also look once more at the perseverance of the saints. And that takes us back to verse 1, doesn't it? I lift up my eyes to the hills. The minor theme, if we called it. But the biblical theme, nonetheless. Believers, don't forget that faith, lifting up your eyes to the hills, is absolutely indispensable if you are to receive this great gift of preserved eternal life. It's the way God does it with us. You, like the psalmist, are not simply passive and receptive in this matter. The Lord does not keep Israel in some mysteriously objective manner, quite apart from Israel's faith. And you today are not robots, manipulated by some divine mechanism, automatically protected from all harm. Not so. For God puts into your hands the power of faith that you exercise unto perseverance as a saved person. You may not complain, and I've heard this. My God, since you are 100% sovereign, what difference does it make whether or not I am faithful? Whether or not I lift up my eyes to the hills. God will not accept that plea. It's not His way. Maybe yours, but it's not His. And who is the Savior anyway? It may be yours, but it is not His. The power comes from Him. Faith itself is a gift from God. It is not a work of yours. You cannot claim it as something for which you are to be congratulated for expressing. Nevertheless, the exercise of it must be found in you. In faith, you believe. You lift up your eyes to the hills. God does not believe and lift up His eyes to the hills, you do. So finally, by way of application, congregation, what I'm about to say, I say as a spokesman for God Himself, who is the author, of course, of this portion of His Word. It is my duty as a minister of that Word to deliver this message to you, His people. How sometimes your faith falters in the face of what you consider to be insurmountable obstacles. When you fall into sin and submit to temptation, how difficult it is for you sometimes to grasp the promise of God with a firm hand, believing that He will pardon you and lift you up again. At times like that, lift up your eyes to the hills. That's where your help comes from. You, trusting in Jesus as your Savior and Lord, are given the great, all-conquering power of eternal salvation from the hand of God Himself. Oh, hear Him. This psalm should be, and is, the sound of music in your ears. Let it reverberate there. And in your heart and soul, loud and clear. This world needs nothing more desperately today than a real demonstration of the faith through which God communicates His power of salvation in Christ. Everybody is aware of the power of evil in these days. Think of terrorists and their horrendous acts of wanton murder. People everywhere dread the mighty forces of hate and destruction that threaten them. They talk fearfully and sometimes hysterically on this subject. Oh, believers, won't you let them hear about a power that is not only far greater, but one that brings nothing but blessing. One that does not destroy, but redeems from destruction and preserves the soul for eternity. Let them see in you the power of God's great love on Calvary's cross. And to that end, let those who know that power of salvation arise and proclaim it in thought, word, and deed, so that the whole world may reverberate with the sound of our voice and the music song of our victory. I lift up my eyes to the hills. My help comes from the Lord, my keeper. Tell them, you may be struck down by disease. You may be injured by accident. You may be betrayed by even a loved one. You may be assailed by grievous temptations and even overtaken by a gripping lust of your own making. But if you are united to Jesus Christ by true faith, you are surrounded by the power of God who is bringing to completion a great work of salvation in your life. You have the sound of God's mercy, the music of Psalm 121. Amen.